You need to make some bank with my friends at DraftKings, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can place a $5 bet and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can take a shot at a bigger payout with the DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use code SHABSHOW, S-C-H-A-U-B, SHOW. New customers can place a $5 bet and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SHABSHOW, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Bet on my Nuggets. You don't think they're going to sweep the Heat or the Celtics? If you bet on anybody but the Nuggets, don't use my code. Bet the Nuggets, Shop Show, only at DraftKings.
And now, Brandon Six Boy Shop.
What is poppin', fam? It is Monday, May 29th. It is Memorial Day. I would say happy Memorial Day, but if you know anything about Memorial Day, it's not really a happy day, right? We're honoring those that passed away in combat. So, hopefully you're having a good Memorial Day, but, the nation got away from what it really represents. It's to honor those that have fallen in combat. So whole barbecue kind of thing. It got out of hand. It became like this weird holiday where people just get out of work and school, but it's really a thank you. Yeah, that's what it is. A tribute to those that fallen during a time of war and action. So shout out to all the military peeps out there. Love you guys. Shout out to my grandpas, freaking uncles, my dad, all the military peeps in my life. So wouldn't be able to do this freely if you guys didn't fight for us. So love everyone that has been in the military. Shout out to you guys, and hopefully your day is going okay. All right. Very special episode today. We have the great Ray Longo and Matt Sierra on the show today. Not a lot going on in the fight world as far as fights go, but the whole Real Housewives of the UFC drama, you know, all that stuff. So we got a lot to talk about with those two guys. If I could bottle up their energy of Matt Sierra and Ray Longo and put in an energy drink, I'd be a billionaire. These boys come in hot. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. As far as road dates go, I'm in La Jolla this weekend, this freaking Friday, Saturday, Sunday. One show on Sunday, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, one show Sunday. La Jolla Comedy Store is going down. One of my favorite venues in all the land. That is June 2nd through the 4th. That's this week. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, La Jolla Comedy Store. Come get you some. Well, let's just jump right on in then. Let's jump right in with two of the faces of MMA. It is the great Ray Longo and Matt Sierra. Enjoy. What's going on, fellas?
Oh, we are?
You're on, man. What's up, brother?
Brandon, what's up, man? Nice to talk to you, dude. This might be the first time I'm on any one of your fucking 8 podcasts. Hey, Brendan, really quick.
What's up?
Let me tell you about how this thing got pitched to me. Ready?
Yeah.
Longo. Hey, Matt. Brendan wants to fly us out first class, but he wants to put us up into a hotel and have us do that food truck diary. Yep. What do you say? I go, hey, man, that sounds pretty fucking cool. And then I get a fucking update. Oh, we're having a Zoom meeting.
Budget cuts, man. Budget cuts. No.
I got duped somehow.
No, you didn't get duped. That's the plan, to have you guys out of here, man. That's the plan. This is just catching up, bro. This isn't the real deal, Holyfield here. This is.
Hey, man. Not you, Longo. I'm talking to Brendan. Congratulations on everything, dude. Brendan, we made it. You understand?
Did we?
There's a lot of casualties in this game. Can I do this without looking at Longo? I'm looking at Longo. I want to look at Brendan. Is there any way we can shift this where I'm looking at everybody?
Can we shift it? Because you have to record the screen. Oh, so Chin says no, we have to record the screen.
Definitely, all right, no. Listen.
Just pretend I'm Longo.
Can we just hear his voice? Is that possible for the podcast?
Okay, all right, I'm going to shut up.
No, really, sir. What are you doing now?
What am I doing? I'm having a good time, you fuck. Yeah, it's Memorial Day.
No, oh, I thought you were sucking on your thumb. I didn't know what you
were
doing.
That's a vape. What were we going to say, though, Matt? Because do you ever stop and smell the roses? I don't, man. I don't feel like we've made up. I'm exhausted, man.
Well, yes, I do. I'm not going to lie to you. Somebody once wrote on one of my comments, on one of my Instagram things, Matt Serra lives every day like he just beat GSP. I go, fucking A. I could live every day like I just got backfisted for the third time.
True.
No, but seriously, Brendan, there's a lot of now the sport being over 30 years old now, we're starting to see some casualties. Some guys that you knew and you see them at events and you high five and, hey, good to see you. How you been? How you feel for the fight? And now all of a sudden they're not doing so well. Yeah. So I have almost like a survivor's guilt sometimes. I tell Longo, I go, Longo, a lot of guys came to the fucking dance after us and left before us. Somehow we're still around.
Yep.
And I not that it's not deserving. I mean, I carry my weight with things, but still, I feel some guy, and I don't shit on anybody. I don't judge anybody. But when you get done, it's almost like a rock star life. And when you get done and then you got to get a 9-to-5, that's whatever makes you happy, I guess.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's just with sports in general. It's, the UFC takes a lot of heat for it when guys get done. They're like, oh, what are they supposed to do now? They didn't make enough money to ride off in the sunset. Hate to tell you, most sports don't, unless those guys are smart with their money. Everyone has to kind of try to figure out what's the next chapter after, whether, not compared to the military because it's Memorial Day, but even the military, those guys get done. They have a special set of skills that doesn't really transition into the real world. Now, some do, a lot of them do, but you look at the Jockos and some of those other guys, Tim Kennedy's of the world that came from the military background, and they're massive now in fighting, right. Those guys, and obviously your personality, you're a smart guy. And then also both you guys, before you came on, Matt, I was talking about, it's not how well you can do it. It's about how long you can do it well. And you guys at, Ray Longo and Sears, the camp out there, you guys have been doing it long and pretty damn good for longer than anybody I know. And doesn't look like it's slowing down. You look at your roster and your stable of fighters, man, you guys got something going on out there.
I get Longo, before we dive into that, I got to point something out to you guys. And it just hit me. And I think I thought about this before, but I never brought it up. But it is Memorial Day. And I am a big Sylvester Stallone fan. I am. It's true. From Rocky to Rambo. But let's talk about Rambo for a second. This guy with that speech, oh, I used to drive tanks and draw planes and I can't keep a job honking cars. Really? Are you fucking special? Something's wrong there. That the guy can't keep a job honking cars, but yet he can fucking take out fucking five fucking guys with a fucking knife in the woods, and he can fucking build fucking forts and fuck. He's like MacGyver before MacGyver, but yet he can't drive a fucking pig, can't park a car.
Well, they didn't have podcasting back then either. Rambo could have podcast.
I don't think he would have. Well, wait, Sarah,
on that one. Yo, can you take a deep breath, please, Ray? Now, take a deep breath. Come on.
Is this not a good point? Am I going to have to ask Chin what he thinks?
Chin. Leave Chin out of it. No, Brendan brings up a good point, because I remember when Ryan came out of the Navy, he was like, what the fuck do I do now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you're talking the elite guys, the Jockos and the Tim Kennedys. Those guys are special forces guys. They're always going to be held up on a pedestal. But you take the average guy getting off a ship or coming out of the service, they're lost for the most part. They want, they just spent 4 years. They got told what to do, when they were going to eat. Now all of a sudden they're out. It's like the same, like you were saying, the same exact thing.
It's a tough transition, but also to correlate that to the UFC, it's like, Matt Serra was a world champion. He was a coach on The Ultimate Fighter. Like, Matt Serra was a big deal. So it's going to be easier. And I'm not taking credit away from anything that you've done, Matt. You're a monster. So Matt's been able to take that and parlay into what he's doing now. The GSPs of the world, the Chuck Liddells of the world back, they were massive, man. It's the guys that don't fight for the title, that don't, aren't on the pay-per-view. Yeah. When they get done, that's where it gets dicey, man.
Yeah. And the sad part would be running into those guys that didn't even make it to like the top 15.
Yes.
And all they're talking about when they're 50 is how they fought in the UFC and they can't rub two nickels together. That's a tragedy to me.
Or their whole mitts at a cardio kickboxing gym. That's what bums me out, man.
Yeah. It just kills you because they never let that go and they never evolved and moved on and tried to get another skill to do something, but they're just content with, man, I had a guy. Remember Wiz, Matt? I mean,
yeah,
he was still wearing his golden gloves. That was his proud. I mean, which you should be proud of it, but you got to move on. If you're listen, Brendan, if you're successful, everything's good. Once you get that down, you could talk about whatever you want. But if you don't, it starts to look bad.
Yeah, man.
You can't be Tim Sylvia wearing that shit to the fucking club.
Yeah.
That fucking guy.
That's right. He wore his belt to that Vegas club. Yeah, that's...
Hey, Brendan. I guarantee he still didn't get laid wearing that.
No, he's too big.
Oh, fuck. He needs big. More help than that.
He's too big.
But anyway.
I'll tell you what. Now, it's kind of like Dancing with the Stars for legit actors. When you're going on there, you know you're on the back nine of life. Now I feel like if fighters are doing the slap fight league, bro, that's where I'm like, oh, bro, this is Dancing with the Stars for fighters. If you're in slap fight league, it's not good.
Yeah, I would say it's below Dancing with the Stars.
Hey, I disagree. I think Tim Sylvia's perfect for a slap fight. I think he's more set for that than for anything else on this planet.
I saw Bigfoot Silva. Bigfoot Silva wants to get involved the slap fight league. I'm like, who the hell is going to take a slap from Bigfoot Silva? Now, if I would only do it if I get the first slap. Because, you know, he's a little chinny, but if he gets to slap you first, he's going undefeated.
Yeah, that's funny, man. He's got some fucking head on him, too.
Oh, giant dick beaters for hands. I mean, you're talking about...
Hey, back to the guys when they're done fighting and whatnot. Now, this is something I would recommend on a serious note. And Longo knows me forever. He knows I've been doing this. And, you know, I felt like I was winning... just when I was able to do teach jujitsu for a living, trust me. I felt like I could just do this. So I overshot, I exceeded my expectations, you know. But I fucked that up. But I shot past where I was my goal. But my point is, when I felt that was my only, like, I'll be living off, like, at a point I was living off private lessons. And then I was teaching a jiu-jitsu course at Columbia University. And I was training and taking some super fights and yada, yada. It's my early 20s. I'm like, look, this is what I'm going to do. Let's say I don't make it to the UFC. I don't make it to a big thing or make a lot of money in fighting. I'm not going to have a pension. So my two pizzeria bosses, I remember these two guys, Nicky and Louie over at Pizza Amore. They told me when I was 17, these two twin brothers, they were heavy smoking cigarettes. They're like, we'll be doing this to the day we die. They go, look, get mutual funds. You put $200 away every month. You don't even think about it. Then over 20 years, you'll have something. And it stuck with me. And I just was doing that when I didn't even have money. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, like, I was thinking, like, all right, just I thought ahead. And Longo knows I'm a moron. So I thought ahead. I knew enough to know that if this shit wouldn't work out, Longo, if this didn't work out for me, I'll have a little something. You know what I mean?
Let's take a little break from chatting with Matt, Sarah, and Ray Longo, two of my faves, because, man, the NBA Finals action is heating up with my friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. My Nuggets are already in it, baby. We swept the freaking Lakers. It's hard to be a Nuggets fan when you're in L.A., but it is what it is. But Miami and Boston going down. Game 7 is tonight. You need to make some bank with my friends at DraftKings, official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can place a $5 bet and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can take a shot at a bigger payout with the DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use code SHABSHOW, S-C-H-A-U-B, SHOW. New customers can place a $5 bet and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SHABSHOW, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Bet on my Nuggets. You don't think they're going to sweep the Heat or the Celtics? If you bet on anybody but the Nuggets, don't use my code. Bet the Nuggets, Shop Show, only at DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in Massachusetts. Call 800-327-5050. Or visit gamblinghelplinema.org in New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas, 21 or older in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after assurance. Opt-in and 10-plus leg required for 100% boost. Eligibility wagering deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms are still listing. Download DraftKings, promo code SHOPSHOW, bet on the Nuggets. This episode of the Shop Show with Ray, along with Matt Sarah, is brought to you by the best kratom on the planet. I only recommend products that I use, and this freaking kratom is the best you can get, the most trustworthy. I use it every single show that I do, whether it's stand-up or podcasting. It's Happy Hippo Kratom. I love it. Helps me tackle whatever busy schedule I got for the day. Helps me get stuff done. I'm going to work out right after this episode, and I'm using the Happy Hippo Energy Shot. I use it non-freaking-stop. It gives me a good feeling. Gets my mind right. The Kratom is my hidden gem. All you got to do if you want to try Kratom, whether it's gummies, the Instant Shot, the freaking regular shot, the highly concentrated drops, the freaking powders, whatever form you get your kratom in, we gotcha, and it's going to be the best you've ever tried. And they also have the K-Dips, which is kratom pouches. You know, I like to dip, right? But now I can dip with kratom. It's tobacco, nicotine-free. It's just kratom in a pouch. Tastes delicious. I use the blue. They have the wintergreen. They have the blue razzle. I like both, but probably the blue razzle, I have to decide. But you're talking about kratom pouches. First to ever market kratom pouches. Try it out. If you like to get your kratom, try it the same way you do your nicotine or however you want to dip, all right? And they have it for you. The first ever K-Dips kratom pouches are here. Go to happyhippo.com. Promo code is THICK23. Thick with three C's, 23, and you save 20% off the entire site, including the K-Dips, including the kratom energy shots, including the Happy Hippo instant kratom gummies, whatever you want, you get 20% off. Go to happyhippo.com. Promo code is THICK23, 20% off. You're welcome. Now, for reals, let's get back to the program. I think what's tough, because, you know, again, credit to you guys. You guys look at your roster, like Aljo has his podcast, and he's making good investments outside of fighting.
Without it, 100%. Yeah,
he's a beast. You let Ally Quinta, who opened up the real estate, he's crushing it.
Yes.
Crushing it. Great. Crushing it. It's tough because you want to tell those guys to do that stuff, but also in order to get to where you want to go in fighting, in the UFC especially, you can't be one foot in, one foot out. So it's this fine kind of balance that these fighters have to do, where, trust me, I'm the first one to tell these guys, start your own merch, do things that you can do where it's not going to take all your time, but you want to have some sort of plan, man, where you're benefiting off your notoriety right now. You don't want to wait till you're retired, but it's tough because a lot of those other guys aren't doing that. All they're worried about is winning fights, man. So it's a fine line, but you guys seem to figure it out.
Yeah, well, look, the other thing too is, I said this years ago, it was more even with Matt. Wasn't beating GSP. It was the fact he had a great family, he had his businesses. Those are the things. And I really always tried to live by this, was like, a good coach can change a fight. A great coach can change a lifetime.
Yeah.
So I always kind of wanted to lead by example, be successful myself, or who the fuck would listen to me? I come driving up in a fucking 1920 Studebaker. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm telling everybody what to do on business. You know those, Brendan, you know those guys are out there.
Oh, yeah.
They talk to, like, you know, I'm from Missouri. I'd rather, you know, see a winner, watch a winner, than listen to one any day of the week. It was that type of mentality. So I really feel great about all of that, because all of these guys are successful. 90% of them today are really successful after fighting. And I think that's a huge, huge thing for me, because I feel great about that.
And it's what you mean by what is success. I mean, like Longo said, Brendan, this guy, we went to the opening of Ally Quinta's real estate firm. Firm, is that what you call it? Real estate firm?
Yeah.
We went in his home. He opened that up in his hometown. They had a DJ out front. His parents were there. The whole fight team was there. I don't know. Like, now look, would we be more happy if he made millions and this and that? I'm not even saying I would be. I don't know. Like, what? Why is money the end all? You want to be set up. I'm not hating on money. But I'll tell you right now, the ultimate way of winning is, for me, is the quality of life. If I had millions, a goddamn thing different. Like today, I'm a little bit late. I tell Chin I'm going to be running tight because, dude, I was at my school. Why am I at my job on my day off? Because it's a fucking good time.
Correct.
I don't know. What am I doing? Yeah. I wasn't teaching, but I was hanging out with the guys. Went over some fucking Kimura shit. I got this young kid, Tommy, that's got a fight coming. I don't know. We're having fun.
And then we're not doing enough. You're doing what you're doing. It's not really a job.
And, Brent, I'm going to say, Yeah, but Matt, like literally 15 years ago, we'd be hanging out and he's like, dude, we're living the dream. Yep. And this is 15 years ago. I don't know what we're living now, but if we're living the dream 15 years ago, it's a long, really good dream because it never ended.
No, I think it shows in your fighters. Yeah. I mean, you look at Aljo, who I think is the most disrespected fighter in the UFC.
Unbelievable.
For a number of reasons. You know, the way he got the belt, and then, you know, he beat TJ Dillashaw. It's not his fault. TJ went in with one shoulder. Aljo just did his job. And then, you know, you look at the Henry Cejudo fight, which I didn't think was even close. In any facet. So I don't know what it's going to take for Aljo to get the respect. And then, you know, now you know, they announced the Sugar Sean fight happened in August and Aljo's like, I didn't agree to that. So he gets more disrespect, but it doesn't seem to get to Aljo. And I think, again, that's credit to you guys. He's just doing his thing, man. He's just doing his thing where a lot of champions, a lot of guys, would be this huge toxic back and forth. And he's like, nah, man, yeah, I'll fight him. I'm not 100%, but yeah, let's do it, you know?
Yeah. He's pissed. He's actually pissed about that.
That one actually pissed him off. Now, I understand he can be pissed, but I think these guys need to realize that, you know, at the end of the day, UFC is a business, and you got to do what's best for yourself. You got to play the game, but you got to take care of yourself.
And when I say pissed, I don't mean pissed like us three would be pissed. He's a thinker. Aljo's a thinker. He's thinking pissed. He's not like, motherfucker, you know, I'm going to kill somebody. not that type of pissed. He thinks it out. And look, he's surrounded by really good people. He's got great friends. He's got a great family. You know, the whole thing, like, his girl is great. He's going to get married.
Yep.
He's just in a good spot. Like, I don't think there's any losing at this. And I could tell you, if I think the way he's thinking, he's already won.
He's already won what's on the Aljo's side. I don't know who's going to beat him. With his skill set, he's also in a good position where it's not like, all right, well, here's this awful matchup. If you want to get him out of dethrone him, good luck. Good luck.
Yeah, man. Well, that's what I love about it. He goes, look, man, you want to do this? I'm going to show up and piss in your Cheerios again. Yeah. It's going to be worse. You're going to force me to do something that you think is going to go one way and it's not. And then you're going to be even more mad.
Yeah. Listen, and Aljo's the type of guy, like even when he did an interview, and I can understand if you're promoting a fight, you don't want a guy that's going to be in the main event or whatever, being like, I don't know, maybe I think he, you know, I'm injured or this, I got to see how I feel. I think he's so honest when they ask.
Yeah, yes, without a doubt.
It's just sports, so, you know, let me, you know, I'll make this happen, but let me just, you know, nurse this or whatever. I just think he's an honest guy, but I think he had every intention of fighting, but, you know, listen, either way, I don't think it's a great matchup for Sean O'Malley. Sean O'Malley's got that, he's very accurate, and I think his grappling's underrated.
Agreed.
I saw him in a match where he guillotined the guy, and he took down Jan almost, and he's not horrible on the floor, but there is levels, and I think if he just needs one takedown, Aljo doesn't even need the takedown. No. There's guys that jump up on backs that shouldn't jump up on backs.
Yep.
A la Chris Weidman, Luke Rockhold, and what, out of character.
Yeah.
Dude, he gets on that back, it's a round winner or a fight ender. And it could be, you know what I mean? So I don't know.
And I think that's what makes Aljo special is he knows where he's special at now. Where before, it was like, man, Aljo's good at this. He's kind of good at everything. Now we know he's an outlier. Like, he knows if he gets on your back, this thing's over, man.
Yeah. And, bro, I'm going to tell you a funny story, too, about Aljo, because he really... He's too honest. He speaks. That's when he's speaking his mind. It's almost like he's thinking as he's speaking. But they did Fight Pass. Came in and did like I guess a special on me. They did some clip. So they wanted to interview Matt and Aljo. Aljo walks in. I look at him. I go, Aljo, let me tell you something. Lie. I don't care. Lying is acceptable. Just fucking lie. Don't start thinking about. Don't overthink what's going on. I didn't even give a shit. I go, you, I want to lie. Forget about it. He'll start breaking it. Then, I don't know. He wasn't looking so good one day. No, seriously. I go, you can't. And I love him. But I go, and he's laughing because he knows. I go, just fucking lie.
But more sports could use that honesty. Like, that's one of the reasons the UFC is so big, because you tune in the NFL, NBA, and it's just, you're just getting these cookie cutter answers. Like, nah, man, talk a little smack. Be honest with us.
Yeah.
Just be honest. And that's why, again, that's why I think Aljo should have more support. He's you know, the UFC's old slogan, as real as it gets.
What about Francis leaving, and he was fighting for every fighter in the UFC to get more? Why are people not raising this guy up on their shoulders and going, Francis, thanks? He took the hit. He's almost like, you know, I'm not going to kick him to Curt Flood back in the, you know, with the baseball when they unionized, but he really, it appeared, was looking out for everybody. I think it's crazy.
The hate Francis got for that is ridiculous, because he's just doing what he thought was best for himself. I actually side with Dana on this, where, again, I love Francis. He's been on the show a million times. I absolutely love Francis. Good for him for getting that PFL deal. But I side with Dana on this side when it comes to business, because you're looking at a guy who's 36 years old, coming off a knee injury. He's not that active. He's never been a big pay-per-view star. He's asking for all this crazy demands, and Dana goes, we're good. We're good, man. We're going to give you the big money fight, John Jones. We know that's going to go well. But after that, we can't justify paying you that much money to fight a Pavlovich or a Curtis Blaydes again or Aspinall, because that's probably not going to do well. We're going based off these numbers over here. So we're good to let you go, man. People are upset about that. But if I'm Dana, I don't know if I do it any different. I got to be honest.
I'm not shitting on it at all. I like Francis, too. He seems like a nice guy. But, hey, man, that Cyril Gane fight, you know, tough. Cyril Gane. It just made a lunkhead fucking decision to lay down with a tree trunk of a leg. He got the single leg take. He got to the fifth round without taking much damage at all. He goes for a takedown between the fourth and fifth round. Let's put it this way. We needed the fifth round. They both needed the fifth round. So what happened? Who made that fucking correction for that fifth round to win it? Cyril Gane did. He got him down without taking a boom, single leg, I believe it was. And then he fucking lays down with a leg like, oh, I don't know what he was thinking. But that caused him to fight. It was his bad, not Francis's good.
Yep.
Francis basically followed him on top. You know what I mean? Yep. So I don't know, man. It's not like, yo, he showed the champion he is in that fifth round and he weathered and he got him down. No, he fucking played off this dude's mistake. I'm just calling it how I see it. This is exactly how it happened.
Yeah.
If God doesn't lay down with that leg, he's the champion.
Yeah, I think, too, with the Francis thing, I hope it works out for him. I'd be curious if going into negotiations with Dana, if someone went up to Francis, went, hey, man, that Tyson Fury fight ain't happening. So whatever hill you're going to die on in here, the chance of that Fury fight happening is not good. You're going to end up signing with another MMA organization. I don't know if he makes the same decision, you know, because it doesn't look like we're going to get that Fury fight. So I think the verdict's still out on Francis if he made the right choice. I know he's going for fighter rights and equal pay and all that stuff. I just don't know if he was the guy to do it, to make the change. I like that he had the message. I don't know if he was the guy to do it. But we'll find out if Francis made the right choice probably in a year from now. We'll see how this PFL goes. Just looking at the PFL, I think Francis got a great deal. The PFL is going to have a hell of a time trying to get their money out of that.
Yeah, no, at that part, I definitely agree with. But again, knowing where Francis came from, again, I think it's already a win for him.
Agree.
And, you know, and you know, Brendan, everybody, I'm going to do what's right for me. I like that. But if everybody does what's right for them, trust me, nothing's ever going to get done. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going in today, what's right for me might be to spend, you know, have dinner with my family. But a guy's got a fight coming up. Agreed. So I'm not going to do what's right for me. I'm going to do what's right for whatever goal I think I'm attaining. And that could be wrong. But that thing always kills me. I'm going to do what's right for me.
Yeah, really. You gotta make some sacrifices.
If I would have did what's right for me, I would have got rid of you 4 years ago.
You know what I mean?
You know, me?
You told me. No.
If you're gonna do what's right for you, I mean, even look at Aljo and Merab. Merab's like, we're not fighting each other. It's not happening. Now, what's the smart business thing to do? Probably fight each other for the title.
There's no question about that. No question about it. We get that. I get that for sure.
But I don't know if it's the right thing to do for Aljo. You know, I would assume the plan, beat Sugar Sean, then go up to 45 and let Merab, you know, do his thing at 35. That's probably the best move for both parties.
I would think that would be the likely scenario.
Quick little break, then we'll jump right back into the convo with Matt, Sarah, and Ray Longo, because this episode of The Shop Show is brought to you by Onnit. the one and only, the best nootropic on the planet. We're talking about Alpha Brain. Now, you've heard of Alpha Brain. They've sold over 1 million bottles. You can try it out risk-free. If you don't love it, they give you your money back. You don't have to return the Alpha Brain. Keep the Alpha Brain, share it with a friend, but they return your money. No questions asked. We got you covered, man. They have the regular Alpha Brain, but they have more than that. They have Alpha Brain Black, the highly concentrated Alpha Brain. They have an instant Alpha Brain, the shots. You get 8 ounces of water, put a little of the Alpha Brain in there. You're ready to go. However you want to get your nootropic, this is the best time to do it. With Onnit, because you save 10% off by using the promo code SHOB. Go to onnit.com/SHOB. You save 10% off all the Alpha Brain. Instant, Black Label, regular Alpha Brain. They've sold over 1 million bottles of the best nootropic on the planet. You got to get your mind right with Alpha Brain. It aids in mental processing. It's caffeine-free. Helps you get in the flow state. Supports your memory. Helps you remember names, which I could definitely use some of these Dagestani fighters and Brazilian fighters. Focus on complex tasks. Think more clearly under stress. React more quickly. They got it all for you. Go to onnit.com/shop. You receive 10% off all the Alpha Brain. And if you don't love it, you get your money back. What do you have to lose? Onnit.com/shop. 10% off. You're welcome.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I believe Aljo said that. In a perfect world, he'll defend it like once or twice, and then he'll go up, give Merab his time. And I'll tell you right now, I do believe this, and I don't want to, and I do it. I'm not shitting on Volkanovski. He's one of my short, bald, stocky hero. I like him. I like that guy.
Short king.
So my thing is, I feel if Aljo had that back, and listen, it's just like the way your body's shaped. The bigger arms, the bigger guy, a guy with no neck. Aljo, with his arms, they're wiry. I believe if he doesn't get the neck, he'll break the jaw. I believe he gets that back, he's finishing. How about that?
Oh, no, so, I agree fully with you, Matt.
Doing jiu-jitsu, Brendan, you can have a smaller, wiry guy on your back. They're worse than the big meatheads. Or not nightmare. That, you know,
compared to, you know, when we talk about even technique and skill, you know, I would say Aljo, when it comes to straight Brazilian jiu-jitsu, is way more versed in that than Makhachev is. So if Aljo were to get, you know, Volkanovski's back, that's a long night in the office for Volkanovski.
That's a winnable fight.
Hell yeah. I love that fight.
I like Volkanovski a lot.
How you guys think your boy Matt, the steamroller, is going to get that fight with Patty? Boy, is he vying for it.
Man, he hasn't. I have to tell him not even to mention it in the gym anymore. He just doesn't stop. He just doesn't stop. And every time I think I get him to stop, he waits a week and a half. And he comes back in guns blazing again.
He's one of those guys that, I don't know, maybe because he's not as. No, I don't think he's not horrible in front of the mic or anything, but I think, I don't know what it is, but man, every one of his fights are like.
Oh, yeah.
Fighting as shit.
I mean, so he's got three first round knockouts. Not three knockouts consecutively. Three first round knockouts.
Oh no, he's crushed right now. I mean, and people love the guy. We just need to get him in front of more people.
Yeah,
and we had him on the Monday before his fight with Drew Dober, and Drew Dober's from my neck of the woods. Drew Dober's a mother, man. And I told Maddie, I said, Maddie, I know you like this, you know, throw those things in there and go for the knockout.
Yes.
And I said, I'm sure Ray and Matt are telling you, this fight, you win it here, buddy. You can't go in there and just, you know, aim for that chin. Like this has to be one of those fights. You got to show in order to get to the top 15, it's not about going in there playing rock 'em sock 'em. To begin the top 15, it's here now, bud. 100%. Boy, did he do it.
Yeah, he did. And I'll tell you, I remember even like when I was in there, Rogan goes, that's a huge win. I go, that is 100% a huge win. And I can't tell you the respect I got for Drew Dober, you know, and I was worried going into that fight too. I mean, I thought we had a great game plan taking away his left hand, but still the guy's got to do it. But Dober's I think he's a monster.
Oh, monster. Matt was a dog going into that fight too.
Yo, a pretty sizable dog, too.
We didn't get to see it, and I'm not giving away shit for the future too much because he's used it in the past versus the tarantula.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He blends in the takedowns nice. So we didn't get to see it.
Yeah,
in
that without
fight.
A doubt.
I'm glad we didn't get to see it because he's got a lot more tools, and he was blending it nice. Mirage style. The shots to the strikes. And I'm guessing. But it never got to that point. But because he has that power and the way he blends in the takedowns in a longer fight, he's really more of a threat than people think.
Yeah,
he's better and better on the floor. He rolls a lot.
I would assume training with those monsters with Merab and Aljo. I'd assume his ground game is pretty damn good. Have to be. But I'm curious if the UFC does do that, the Patty versus Matty fight. I'm curious if they actually do that because you look at that fight on paper. And listen, I love Patty. Patty's a great kid. Tough fight for Patty, man. You know he'd be a dog in that fight.
Yeah, I agree with you.
In a weird position because he's coming off a win that everybody feels it's a loss, and you know what I mean. So it's like, and you could tell as a guy that does he have any losses? I'm not in the UFC, but does he have losses in general?
I think Patty has. He had one loss in Cage Warriors, but not in the UFC.
The way he handled it, and I'm not. And I like Patty. He's a nice kid,
great kid.
He's friends with Meatball McCann and with Molly. You know, they're cool. But you could tell it hurt him that people were saying he lost. Like he didn't had a. At first, he was doubling down on he won. Then we could fight again, and then it's like, yo, man, just keep winning, kid. Don't worry. Win or lose or close fight, they're going to talk shit.
Correct.
You're dwelling on that shit. Why are you calling to fight the guy again to show people? I mean, I don't know. I know he's a young kid too. And when I was younger, I was way more off the handle. So I get it.
But we didn't have to deal with social media. Different animal now, man. These kids get on there and they're getting every comment, every slap, Dick and Harry giving their opinion. And these kids are reading those comments. It's bothering them.
And it bothers him. Trust me, it bothers
big time. Him. I mean, with Patty, he said the thing that got to him is he was okay with accepting he was gonna move on. And then when he heard Rogan go on his podcast, like you know, Patty did not win that fight. Said that's the one that got him. You know, because Rogan has a lot of power. When Rogan says you didn't win that fight, MMA goes, you didn't win that fight.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's Rogan's opinion for sure, man. I mean, everybody's got their own. So I mean, you don't want him to lie about it. And I don't know. I remember definitely feeling he didn't win it, but I've seen worse decisions too. So
that was my take exactly, Matt. I've seen way worse decisions. You can't beat this kid up over it. He did his best. Judges gave to him. Move on, man. I've seen way bigger robberies.
You know what the problem too is? It's almost like you go in with some sort of confirmation bias. You don't like him.
Yeah.
And if you don't like him, then he lost.
Yep.
For sure. I do think he lost, but I think that adds to it too. And plus we love Jared Gordon. So I'm the first guy to say I'm biased. I'm going to say one probably. I'd be the worst either way. You know what I mean? But Jared's a great kid, and Patty's, a little brash, so you want to see those guys humbled a little bit. And I think that's part of the problem, too, is that people are going to – that's the direction they go in.
Heavy lies the crown. If you can get all that attention, I think for Patty – can he be a world champion? Sure. Is he there yet in top 15? No, but his stardom has surpassed his skill level right now. So there's going to be a lot of hate. And Sugar was that guy for a little bit, but now when Sugar beat Peter Yan, he kind of justified himself getting all that attention. Patty hasn't got that big win yet. He's just not there.
Well, but plus Sugar, if you look at him, he's got great movement. His face is great. He could box. He looks totally different than Patty's wild. He's wide. He doesn't look like a seasoned pro by no means. And Sugar really does though. He looks good. Whether he's going to be durable enough to go to long haul, that's a big factor, I think. But from the outside looking in, he's dangerous for sure from the outside.
And that was a fight with Yan where I was okay with that decision. Where everybody thought that. I mean, the majority of people seemed to think that Yan won. I was definitely okay with it. I thought it was I remember thinking that O'Malley won. Then I heard the backlash, like, oh, okay.
Spot on. Yeah, same thing. Not a robbery. Close fight. Yeah.
Close.
Sugar won the fight. Nobody got screwed.
I was surprised. I think again, like what you said about Rogan, they see a backstage of Habib going, oh, I can't believe it. So they're like, oh, look, yep. Khabib said he thought he won. So, you know, I don't know. I thought that was way closer than people gave Sean O'Malley credit for.
Now, Matt, like me, you're a tough alumni, and the Ultimate Fighter is kind of making a comeback now. It's been dark days for Ultimate Fighter. There's been about seven people watching the past about 10 years since we left, my man. But now it's back on mainstream TV. It's back on regular ESPN. You got Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler. You excited for the Ultimate Fighter kind of making a resurgence here?
Well, listen, this is what I'm excited about for that show is the participants. I mean, yes, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know your case, Brendan, but that changed my life. I'll be a test to that. Again, mine was kind of a special. I mean, listen, anybody, it's a gateway to the UFC. That show alone, it showcases your personality.
Yes.
And it showcases who you are. When I went on that season of The Ultimate Fighter, The Comeback, I didn't look at the prize at the end of it or this or that. I just looked at it like, look, fight at a time, look at it like a training camp. If worst case scenario, people will get to see me on there. Maybe they'll like me. Maybe I'll get a few more students for my school, which I enjoy doing. So I didn't look, that's how I looked at it. But it did. It changed my fucking life.
Me too.
It gave, you know, so it's the reason my wife didn't have to become a school teacher. And so, right, Longo, remember that shit?
Yeah,
I went to the fighter and it led to that. My thing was the title shot thing. So I think the opportunity it gives for people is amazing.
No, you know? But look, Brendan, he's saying the thing with the personality, which is probably true, but the phone call was, we got one last shot. We got to do this. I mean, if you think about it, that was it. We were focused on winning that thing 100%. He goes, listen, there's not going to be another shot. I just got this call. Can we do this? Blah, 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 blah. That was it. It wasn't, you know, I'll let my personality shine through, which obviously it did. I think that show is what ruined him because he went fucking berserk after that show. He found out people like this personality.
Yeah, man.
He even got worse. Brendan, he got worse.
Double down.
I'm trying to pinpoint the time that he just lost his shit, and I'm coming up with that show. That's all that comes up in my mind.
Longo, I used to hide my comic books when you'd walk in the room and I was like, now I just flaunt. I tell people. I just, as you get older, you give less of a fuck.
I agree, man.
That's why you see the old people with the Brendan, same as the socks. They don't give a shit.
Brendan, I'd walk into the room and I'd see a comic book on his end table. I'm like, you know, just like I say, like, you know, I'll tell the story, like, you know, so-and-so did this. I know I had a fighter. That thing made me question everything. I was like, this motherfucker's reading comic books? Guy's 30 years old. He's fucking 30.
Yeah,
The
Ultimate Fighter was, especially back in the day, especially your season, my season, it was a big deal, man. And then for the past couple of years, you know, I don't manage fighters, but if I would, I'd be curious your guys' thoughts on this. I was always under the assumption, if I had a fighter, young fighter trying to get in the UFC, I'd put him on Dana White's Contender Series. I think that's put out the best prospects ever, besides the Ultimate Fighter back in the day. Now, if I had a fighter, I would, not this season, but in the past, I would say, go on Dana White Contender Series instead of doing Ultimate Fighter. Nobody's watching Ultimate Fighter. Do Dana White Contender Series. But now with the Conor and the Chandler, maybe now's the time to go back to Ultimate Fighter.
Well, we'll find out. But that Contender Series, honestly, is no joke. You're getting matched up. Those are tough, those fights, man.
Listen, guys, don't sleep on Dana White looking for a fight. What's the matter with you?
Oh, shit, man.
As far as finding talent? Come on, man. Where'd you think you found Jared Gordon? Some back alley beating someone up? No, man.
But
Dana White looking for a fight.
Dana White looking for a fight, and you're on that, right, Matt? Listen, to be transparent, I've never seen it. I do so many shows myself. I haven't seen it. But is that a show where he goes to a fight and they're just looking for talent, and then does he put the talent on Dana White Contender Series, or that's separate?
Look, the show's been around forever. It's been around 10 years. You don't have to like Dana to enjoy that show, Brendan. Let me tell you.
Hey, Matt, here's...
I'm not bringing up nothing between you and my buddy Dana. I'm friendly with you, and Dana's my friend. So I'm not bringing up no bullshit.
No, there's no bullshit here. No, Matt, hold up. Matt, there's no bullshit to be had. I have no issues with Dana, man. Everyone thinks I hate the guy. No, my entire business model is based off his business. I have no issues with the guy. I'm just saying I've never seen that show. I think Dana White Contender Series is the best fight product, you know, the UFC's put out. I think you look at the contenders in the UFC now, like that kind of feeder league is brilliant. I prefer that to the Ultimate Fighter.
That's true. But like you said, you have not seen Dana White looking for Hey, hold on. Ray Longo. Brendan, you don't think I tried my fucking hand at fuck? Hey, Phil the Burner guy, go fuck yourself. I'm doing a podcast. Sorry, this is my
burner. Holy
shit. Hey, Brendan, you don't think I tried my hand at fucking comedy? Ask Brian Kalin. I went to the Laugh Factory. This is what we do.
I heard.
Right. I swear to God. Dana White looking for a fight, right? What we do is we go to either these town, whatever fucking state or town. We went to Mexico one time. We go to these smaller events looking for talent. And while we're in that town, we do some wacky shit. I rode a fucking bull. Not no bullshit, like some jackass shit. Dana, Longo, you got to give him credit for this. The guy jumped on a bull when he was 50-something years old.
No, without a doubt.
So we do wacky shit. So we did one in L.A. We visited that big donut shop. We made some donuts. And then myself, Dean Thomas, and Dana did a spot at the Laugh Factory. Brian Kalin, when I got off, Brent, maybe you can relate to this. After your first time doing comedy, didn't it feel like an adrenaline, and I'm not doing it anymore because it's not my thing, but after, I felt like I want to fight. You get an adrenaline rush.
Yes,
no?
Sir. Oh, yeah.
Brendan, are you regretting this interview?
I love it. I love it, man. It's Memorial Day. I love it, man.
Hey, Brendan. Afterwards, I hugged Brian. They got it on, and I went to give him a kiss. But I think we went to get a cheek, but I kind of got his mouth a little.
Oh, yeah, that's Brian. He's full-blown gay man. No, Brian trying to suck you, man. You're lucky you didn't pull your pants down. But how did Thomas and Dana do at the Laugh Factory?
Thomas did good. He used a crutch at the time. He threw out the N-word a bunch. I couldn't use that.
Dude, I couldn't. Such a crutch, Thomas.
I'm not bullshitting you, man. he did something. But it was funny. Dean Thomas has about as many jobs as you, Brendan. He's a fucking guy that's just.
He's a very good man. Yeah, I love that guy.
He's a talented guy. He's a funny man. And I'm lucky that I get paid to hang out with that guy. It's really fun. And Dana had Tony Hinchcliffe. We didn't know this. He fucked us with this. He said it on the episode. But this episode, it was supposed to be the tooth. The tooth got kicked off right before this. We left or whatever. So Dean came in on 2 days' notice and stepped up to the plate. But Dana's way of thinking was, he's going to book this thing. He thought I'd land on my feet because I'm a naturally silly guy. He thought Tooth was going to get fucked because the tooth is kind of... And then he had something prepared. He was getting personal fucking lessons from Tony Hinchcliffe.
Yeah, Tony's a roast writer. He does the Kill Tony show. He's very close with Rogan. Yeah. Like, he brought in a savage to help him out there.
Yeah, yeah. And those guys are good, man. It's a big difference when you get a professional writing your shit.
Hey, I wrote my one... I only have one bit. It was a Rocky bit. And that was my only thing I had. And it fucking killed. There was a UFC crowd. I'm not breaking, but I am breaking a little. But they did like it, and and Tony Hinchcliffe gave me a compliment. You know what I'm saying? It made me happy.
He doesn't give a lot of those out. He doesn't give a lot of those out, so that means a lot.
Dude, I asked him, and if he might have been just bullshitting me.
No.
He did tell me.
Yeah.
He liked it, so that made me happy, man.
So the show's been going on for 10 years, and you shoot in 3 months, or you do it year round? Is there off season? What's going on?
I'll tell you when I shoot, Brendan. I get a phone call or a text. We got this date. We're going to be over in fucking Missouri or Vancouver. I go, all right. Sometimes I don't even know anything else than that. And then it's very organic. You know what I mean? We meet up. I know we're going to have a good time because I get along with Dane. I get along with Dean. Dude, it's a fun. It's just my secret to success personally. Okay. Longo, write this down. It's never too late. My secret to success is if I'm having fun, whether it's my podcast, UFC Unfiltered with Jimmy Norton. I love Jimmy. I love Jimmy, my little bird. Or when I do with Dana White looking for a fight, Or when I'm at my school's fucking 7 days a week teaching jujitsu and having a good time. When I'm having a good time, genuinely everybody's kind of having a good time. Yep. You know what I mean? That's all it is. If I'm not having fun, no one's having fun. Yeah. That's how I look at it.
Is that what you want me to write down?
It's a lot to write down.
Are you kidding? Let me ask you something. Let's test the theory out now. Are you having a good time now?
What, Papa?
Because I'm having a shitty time. That theory sucks. That theory, I wouldn't write that down if my life depended on it.
When people watch Dana White looking like these CS, I'm going to laugh. How about this?
He's still going, Ray says.
No, I'm not playing peekaboo, you cocksucker. Hey, Brendan. How about this? You've seen Step Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
What is the best part of that fucking movie? The outtakes.
Yes.
When you see them dying trying to get through the scene,
yep.
You know they're really having fun. So I don't know.
No, I dig it, man. I'm with you, brother. People get the vibes if you're having fun. What?
You and Brian Kalen.
Yeah, Kalen. I refuse to correct his last name's Callen, but I'm going to do the fighting kid after this. I'm going to keep telling him you call him Kalen. I'm just going to roast him.
Brendan, to be awesome, Schaub, Schlob, I fuck up your last name. I call you Brendan. I fuck up your last name.
Oh, I only call fighters by the first names. Marab, I don't know his last name. Marab, I don't know his last name. Refuse to attempt it.
Brendan, you want to laugh? I know Brian, what did you say, Kalen? I'm calling him Callen.
Callen.
Anyway, I know Brian Callen since the 90s, bro. When he was on Mad TV, he was training at Henzo.
Yep.
I believe he got his blue belt there when I was there. So I remember him. I mean, I know Brian for a long time. You know, he's always been a fucking good dude.
He's the best.
I think he's a great that guy. I love that guy. He's a great guy.
No, he's the best.
And I'll tell you, I went to see his comedy act in Jersey probably a couple of months ago. Well, I don't know, maybe a half a year ago.
You told me this.
I tell you, Brendan, I was worried. Like, I haven't been to a comedy club in years. I didn't stop laughing.
Yeah.
It was an hour straight. That guy was he's really good.
Yeah, Callen's a beast. Speaking of good guys, what's Weidman up to? Is he making a comeback?
He does. He's looking for an opponent now.
Oh damn. Legs good to go and he's back up in training.
Yeah, I heard he's kicking. He told me he's kicking like a mule, worse than I guess his leg is stronger than ever, but that's what he's saying. And I talked to people down in Carolina where he is. They said, "No, he's still killing the room." So I just got off the phone with him maybe a couple of days ago. He's definitely, he's in pursuit, looking at maybe August or September.
Damn. And maybe they'll put him on that Boston card. And he got into podcasting too, right? He started podcasts?
I think so. Yeah. I've done it a couple of times, but he's had a couple of different podcasts, I believe. Unless Sirius picked up the other one, but. Yeah, that part's hard to keep up with everybody, Brendan. Everybody's all over the place.
Oh, man. Nice. It was nice when Aljo's fight. We all went out to dinner.
It was great.
Day, because we haven't seen him as much because they went to South Carolina. He went, I haven't seen his son in so long too. CJ, all of a sudden he's up to you. It's strange because we know these guys when they didn't have kids. So it's cute, like the circle of life thing. Even Vellante.
How old are your kids, Matt?
Longo's about to call me the F word. Longo, grow up, will you? You fuck, hey, Longo, grow up.
Talk to Brendan
about my family without you being a dope prick.
He's become very sensitive as he got older. Very sensitive.
That's how it goes, man.
He's a human being at this point. He's crying during movies. You can't even look at him the wrong way. He'll start bawling.
That's kids, man. Kids, I'll cry at any given second.
100%.
There's a Machine Gun Kelly song that's got me. It's when he's, I forgot what it's called. I'm serious. It's about him talking to his daughter when he's gone.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, he writes her a letter, basically, yeah.
And then I can't make it through. When I'm driving, I go, this is such a good song. Let me make it through. And then I'm just like, I can't fucking do it. I got to get back to my Tahoe, Longo. I'm trying to Durango. I don't like being face-to-face. It's not funny seeing a bald man cry in traffic.
How old are the kids, Matt? Friend.
My kids are 14, 12, and 10 in a couple of weeks.
Oh, damn.
And they're all doing a jiu-jitsu tournament soon. It's good.
Oh,
and
damn.
And my wife, too. Yeah. They all train. I love it, man. I love it.
Yeah.
It's yeah, so
he,
much.
He calls me one day, Brendan. He goes, "Is this normal? I'm crying during a movie." So I go, "Dude, I go 100%. I go, I've been crying for the last 10 years at this point. I don't know when it happens, but when it happens, there's no going back. You just start bawling at everything."
Yeah, man. Once you have kids, it's just like the life is scarier and more fragile. And dude, y'all crying.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, man. I went to Little Mermaid yesterday, my kids. I wanted to freaking cry because I was in Little Mermaid. But, yeah, you know, you'll just start crying, man. It is what it is.
Yeah, yeah, God forbid that mermaid gets hurt. It's over.
Well, fellas, I know you guys got a busy day, man. I could talk to you guys for freaking hours. I'm telling you, Ray was right. Next time I see you guys, it's going to be in person. It's going to be in person. We'll get you out 100%. Here. You know, I don't know if I give you the same treatment as looking for a fighter with Dana. I don't have Dana money, but it'd be a good time.
Well, listen, how about this? Watch the LA episode. Could you just do that? You don't like that. If you do or you don't, you can forward right past him and get to me.
No. You have my word. I'll watch it.
You like this show.
No, I'm going to start watching it. I need a new show to watch. I'm going to start watching it. You have my word.
Hey, you know what's funny? And I'm not starting a feud with you and that Ariel Helwani again.
Yeah.
But we and Ariel have never been the same since that LA episode. Because I had a little bit more time before the fucking light went on. So I got done with my little bit. And I go, look, and this is exactly when Dana threw out, he threw him out during that Brock Lesnar surprise. Lesnar,
yeah.
So that happened like the day of or some shit. So it was a UFC crowd. So I go, look, now Dana's coming up next. And if anybody heckles him, he'll throw you out of here faster than he fucking threw out Ariel Helwani. I kind of did a little thing there. And it went over better than that. But it was fucking... Crushed. And ever since then, Ariel, I don't know. We didn't get along too well.
He's a sensitive guy. I get it, man. You know, it's the business we're in. I get it.
Yeah. You know what's funny, though, nowadays? Is that you can have like a little fucking guy like that talk this shit like to you and really be like, I'm going to dig in on Brendan. Because he knows it. Because, listen, we're all civilized human beings. He knows you're not going to get him and just smack him and just make him cry. It's not going to be, you can't do that now.
Can't do it. There's too many cameras. There's lawyers.
So when people like a Weasley guy, when a Weasley guy knows, I had Henry Cejudo's coach, that little fucking.
With the glasses.
That little Coach Piggy. Coach, what's his name? Coach Piggy. Captain Coward. Eric. That little fuck. I heard Now, Wago, we weren't fighting. My days of fighting are over. I know I still got fucking ass.
Oh, damn.
Thank you, Brendan. But listen, my point is this.
Holy.
I seen this guy. Somebody showed me his thing on Ariel Helwani. He's like, got all shit written down like Cejudo does. And like, it's one thing if Cejudo wants to talk shit about people and he's fighting them. Why is that little fat fuck mentioning my name? He's nice to me in person. That goofy little fuck. Why are you talking about me? And he goes, Ray Longo, punch him. He's doing little, he's quoting little things about each guy. And Matt Serra, 100 pounds heavier than when you fought GSP. And he goes, and you say you're not short, you're stocky, you are short. Hey, dude. Who the fuck are you talking to, you little fuck? We're not fighting, you little twat. Why are you talking about me?
That's the business we live in, man. It sounds like he needs Tony Hinchcliffe to punch up some of his shit talking.
Brendan, I just like to have a fucking good time, man.
Me too, brother. And you guys are the best time. Next time I see you, it's in person. Yeah, appreciate you guys, man. Thanks, Ray, Matt. Love you guys, man.
Hey, take it easy, guys. Thanks, Brendan.
Later, fellas. All right, that's it, guys. Hope you guys enjoyed the very entertaining Matt Serra and Ray Longo. Two of my faves. Two of my faves. One on the show for a while. Next time you see them, they'll be here for either a food truck or a fight companion in person. It's going to be a grand old time. I'll be on the road this week, kind of. I don't have to take a plane. I get to drive to San Diego. La Jolla Comedy Store is this Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's at the Comedy Store, one of my favorite venues in all the land. That's two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, one show Sunday. Dude, I'm working on the Lord's Day. Sunday, one show only at 7 p.m. But two shows Friday, 7 and 9:30. Two shows Saturday, 7 and 9:30. Then one show on Sunday at 7 p.m. That's in La Jolla, right side San Diego. The Comedy Store, tickets at thickboy.com. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode with Ray and Matt. Love you guys. Be safe. Enjoy your Memorial Day. I'll see you around.